Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Women of Golf Show. And this is another Tuesday morning here with Cindy Miller and I, and I want to bring Cindy on. Cindy, welcome.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How was your July 4th weekend?
It was beautiful. It was beautiful. Yeah, I got to play golf. I got to plant some flowers. I got to hang out with my family. What more could you ask for?
That's right. A little play, a little work, and lots of good celebration. Hope everybody out there tuning in this morning had a great celebration on July 4th, of course, Independence Day here in the United States, and happy that you could join us this morning here on July the 8th. Just to remind everybody, we've got a great show for you today. We've got a great guest coming up a little bit later in the broadcast, but of course, Cindy's going to be jumping right in here in just a moment into part 8 of Own Your Game, a great segment that she's been putting together, a great series, and we've got plenty of segments left, of course, in this series. Lots of good stuff. You got to make sure that if you haven't been tuning in, that you go back and listen to the recorded archive versions, but make sure that you tune in live each and every week to get a fresh perspective on the series. But just to remind everybody, of course, we're live every Tuesday mornings at 9 a.m. Eastern time here on blogtalkradio.com, and two simple ways you can get to us. You can either type in blogtalkradio.com/womenofgolf or just blogtalkradio.com, and up in the search key you can type in Women of Golf. Don't forget, if you want to call into the program live Tuesday mornings from 9 till 10 a.m. Eastern, you can do so by calling us at area code 347-945-5855, or you can certainly contact us at womenofgolf@gmail.com, or you can get Cindy at cindy@cindymillergolf.com. Two great ways to get a hold of us if you want, if you're interested in being on the show, or if you want some maybe to have some interesting topics come on the show, you can let us know about that either way. But as I said, we got a great show for you. We're going to be working on part 8 of Cindy's Own Your Game series. Dominance is going to be the topic today. And a little bit later, as I said in the broadcast, we're going to be joined by none other than LPGA teacher professional Karen Palacios Jansen. She's going to be joining us here in about a half an hour or so's time. But anyways, Cindy, let's jump right in.
Well, to define dominance, it's your ability to approach the round with moderately aggressive and competitive attitude. One will allow you to challenge the course and stay competitive even under pressure. So it's almost like having a game plan.
Right.
If you tend to, let's say you're trying to break 100 for the first time and you're playing golf and your friend, you know, of course, is going to tell you on 15, do you know that you only have 35 up till now? Well, what might happen is you could get a little steery if you're not dominant enough. So you need to be able to realize when you might become a little steery or protective or gagging, if you will, and not be as aggressive as you could be. You're protecting your score instead of staying aggressive. Has that ever happened to you?
You know, actually it has. You know, I've found sometimes where, you know, if I'm not you know, if I'm not aggressive enough in the shots, I become very overprotective. And I think that that's something that a lot of people, you know, will do from time to time. And I've had that happen to me a number of times actually over the years where I'll, you know, maybe be playing in a corporate event or something and be close, you know, either leading it or near the top and not wanting to lose position. So I'll become a little bit more protective in my play, and I think that's a pretty common thing.
I also, you know, if you're too dominant, you know, extremely dominant, mm-hmm. you may have a tendency to be a little bit too aggressive in high-risk, you know, situations and possibly try to force opportunities to make up for lost strokes. So let's say, you know, you made a couple bogeys, you're at a par five, you're like, no, I've got to go for this, I've got to make up for that. And when you're really not making wise decisions, you could tend to
yep.
be a little bit too aggressive and be sorry for it after the fact, or hit water, you know, those kinds of things. So you need to kind of have balance between being a little bit too aggressive and then not aggressive enough.
So how do you find sort of a balance? How do you know when to be aggressive and when not to be aggressive? What are some of the steps that we can do to help do that?
Well, let's go back for a sec. Emotions, you know, tension, confidence can raise and lower.
Mm-hmm.
Traits that can interfere are low performance confidence. You know, like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't trust my new swing. I hate my cigarettes, all those kinds of things. You got to be careful. Those who are really skilled at being dominant or have a great balance, they may be able to manage the course in a way, you know, that tests both your goals and your future skills and your decision-making. Champions are dominant enough to take moderate risks and to put them in contention, yet are not so dominant that they try to force their opportunities. They try to remain committed to their plan to managing the course. So what you really need to do is, for example, if there's a course that you just, there's a certain hole on it, you just can't seem to play consistently, you may want to try to make a different plan. Let's say there's a par four, there's water left and right, and, you know, you're like, oh, wow, I always hit it in the water, or I hit it OB. Maybe you even take a five iron off the tee. Just make a totally different game plan for playing a golf course or a certain hole so that you're not, you don't have the tendency to make bad decisions and then a bad swing and then a bad score.
Right. Now, who would you say, I mean, you know, playing out on the LPGA and of course, now on the Legends Tour and that, who would you say, just give us maybe a couple on each side, who would you say are some that were very, that you feel were very balanced in their decisions and maybe some that were either too dominant or maybe not dominant enough? Can you think of anybody offhand, Cindy?
Well, I would say Suzanne Pedersen is pretty dominant.
Right.
I think she's very aggressive. I believe and know that her personality is such that she tends to want to go for things. She's so competitive, she wants to win.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, last week, you know who I would say? Stacey Lewis is probably great because she laid up in Arkansas on that last
right.
hole when she mm-hmm. probably could have made it go over, but she made a very wise decision and didn't let her emotions get in the way. And she probably had the utmost pressure. In fact, she even said it was more pressure packed to play in Arkansas in front of everybody that she knows than it was to try to win the U.S. Open the week before. So there would be a perfect situation where we could witness a wise, very wise decision on laying up instead of going for it. At a time where, you know, oh, I need to make birdie to win this. Well, no, let's just stop. And she ended up making birdie anyway. She got it up and down.
Right. Do you think that?
Very aggressive.
Right. Do you think, Cindy, that you know, in sort of retrospect, looking at some of the players as they've, you know, progressed through their time on tour, do you think that some of the younger, newer players that come out tend to be more that way in the beginning, a little more, you know, maybe sometimes too aggressive when they first come out on tour because they're, you know, they're eager to win and sort of, you know, stake their claim, if you will. But then as time and experience sort of comes up, that they tend to find more of a balanced approach to it. Do you find that a lot?
I'm not sure if I would categorize them as when they first get on tour. I know that I definitely would categorize them via their personality. So if
right.
you have a dominant, aggressive personality, you're going to tend to want to take uncalculated risks because you're so competitive and you're so urgent. Everything has to be in a hurry. It has to happen yesterday. Whereas a person more like Jason Duffner is never, you're going to have to urge that person to try to take a risk. So I think it's not so much as when they come first come out on tour, I think it whatever their natural behavior style would dictate, you know, what's going on.
Right, right. Can you think of anybody offhand that you can that comes to mind that played a less dominant game while you were out on tour?
Rosie Jones.
Or even now. Mm-hmm.
Rosie Jones, I would say Zach Johnson, you know, he just kind of plops around and, oh, he's always hiding there in the corner. You know, it's like, oh, where did he come from? So he's kind of camouflaged, plays his own game his own way, doesn't hit as far, always down the middle. You know, Jason Duffner would be another example. So the high-powered
right.
hitters, the Dustin Johnsons and the Keegan Bradleys and the Wham Bam Thinking Mans, you know?
Yeah.
And you also have, oh, well, go look at consistency over here, you know? Jane Crafter is one. Every time I see her, I'm like, wow, you're just my hero. Because she doesn't hit it far, but boy, she's straight, but she's always in the top 10. The unassuming person, the kind of people that I give lessons to would say, oh, that little old lady at the country club, if he hits it down the middle every time, that would be that person. They know their own thing. They know their strengths and their weaknesses, and they absolutely stick to it. They're not trying to be someone they're not. So one of the recommendations is, you know, pre-managed course that you play. You know, you may not even have to take a golf lesson. You could take a course management lesson and say, okay,
right.
let's say you play, you're a member of a club or you play a league and you play the same course all the time. Well, let's just do a course management lesson of, you know, where am I going to take my calculated risk that will maximize my current skills? You know, keep in mind that you need to have, again, a 50-50 chance of making the shots you've chosen. While you're still challenging yourself on holes where risk is definitely worth the reward. You know, while you're playing in the club
right.
championship or the league, you know, try to resist changing your game plan unless the conditions, you know, not your score, the conditions require the change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, example being, you know, a lot of rain, wind, temperature change. You know, if the wind starts blowing, you may not be going for the par 5 and 2 that you could go for when the wind wasn't blowing. Be aware
right.
of what's going on in the course and the conditions and the weather and all that stuff.
So if I understand things correctly, then, you know, obviously you want to have somewhat of a game plan when you're going out there, but you also have to be able to adapt to changing conditions, i.e., of course, weather being the most prominent, but also sometimes to, you know, you might be, let's say, in the lead of a tournament, and suddenly you've got two or three chomping at your heels. Now you might feel more to becoming into a protective mode as opposed to, so you have to be able to adapt. Would that be a fair assessment?
Absolutely. You have to be flexible and be able to adapt and be aware of the situation at hand.
Right.
You know, you have to know, again, Stacey Lewis last week in Arkansas, or the week before, was probably a perfect example of, you know, I'm leading the tournament and I could go for this in two, but if I hit it in the water, I will not win this tournament. So I will lay up and trust my ability to get it up and down from 80 yards to try to make birdie, rather than go for it, dump it in the water.
Right.
That absolutely has to be the case. And you have to be smart enough So, you know, what all this is about is learning to own your game, if you will. So trusting your own abilities. I had a guy last night that came in and said, you know, every time I make a double or triple, I have another double or triple. And I said, well, why do you think that is? I have no idea. I said, well, you get so mad that you were not able to swing the club. Therefore, your ass
right.
are locked up. So he's not even aware of the emotional instability because he's so mad at himself. I said, you don't need a golf lesson. You know, this is all about your thoughts. You have to control
yeah.
your thoughts and manage your course and realize, you know, when to be aggressive and when to back off and play the course differently. Well, take my swing. What am I doing? I said, it's not your swing. You know, it's just like what Alan said to me. To me, this has nothing to do with your golf swing. This has everything to do with your noggin and your thoughts. And it's like, I don't want to go there.
Yeah. Do you think a lot of, especially the high handicap golfer, Cindy, do you think a lot of them, you know, misunderstand what it is they need to do? And I'll give you an example. You actually gave a perfect example. A lot of people, you know, if they're not scoring well, automatically blame their swing as well. I'm not hitting the ball very well. Yet they might, in fact, be, you know, hitting it decent. It may not be the best, but they're certainly hitting it decent. But maybe it's their course management or their preparation for, you know, a given round that maybe be the real culprit, just as you've explained. Do you think that that's maybe something that more high handicappers particularly suffer from as opposed to just, you know, a bad golf swing?
Absolutely. Once you can hit the ball consistently, let's say you can score under 110. If you have the ability to score 18 holes, keep, you know, legitimately, no cheating, no mulligan, your mistakes are probably caused by mental errors or not knowing yourself or owning your game. So if you can learn to how to best manage your game on your course and or any course that you're playing, I think that it will definitely help your score. And it's probably not the golf swing, but I can tell you that your thoughts can change your golf swing.
yeah.
I hate to say that. Well, you know, I mean, now
well,
that bad. What were you thinking? And normally,
yeah,
for me,
I just
when
think
I try
you know,
to protect.
Right. I just think, and I'm sure you've witnessed this yourself, you know, Cindy, when you're up at the practice range and, you know, people are out there just hitting ball after ball and they're really not putting much thought into what they're doing. You know, I think if people would spend less time beating balls, if you will, out on the driving range and maybe working more on their management side of the game, I think they would score far better than what they would in format. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that would bring us to the next recommendation, is mental rehearsal. You know, once you've committed to your plans and managing the course, you know, take a few quiet, relaxed moments prior to your round and practice playing your round using imagery, you know. Pretend. You know, close your eyes maybe. This is, you know, where I'm going to hit it on number one, then I'm going to have this shot in, I'm going to visualize where am I going to aim, where am I going to, you know, avoid the trouble. Just pretend. Play pretend. Attention span doesn't allow you to play all 18 holes. Just play a few holes at a time. You know, or at least play the holes where you have modified, you know, you're getting to play less aggressively or more aggressively. You know, oh, number 17, I'm going to try to go for it. So I want to make sure I hit my drive over to the right, so I'm going to stand on the left side of the tee box. You know, well, what does that mean? Well, you can change what side of the tee box you stand on so that you can hit it, you know, away from the trouble and have a more consistent shot and a better opportunity to hit your target. So that's definitely what I would do. Imagine success. If mistakes are negative thoughts, then it's still relaxing to playing the shots until you experience success. You know, because that little dribble in your head's got a loud voice. And your subconscious, what are you doing now? Who are you kidding? You can't do this. You know, well, no, stop. Don't listen to that voice. try to make the imagery detailed enough to include your mental routine. Stand behind the ball, pitch a target, an intermediate target. Walk into the shot. You're going to set the clip face down first. You're going to set your feet first. You know, feel it before
right.
the swing.
Right, and I think a lot of players, obviously, you know, even at the professional level, there's moments when that can happen, and you know, those negative thoughts creep in. I think we've all seen even some of the top players from time to time, you know, we'll be playing, you know, a great round, and then all of a sudden, you know, the trap door falls out, and you're wondering, well, what happened here? And it's not a matter that they suddenly can't hit the golf ball. It's just that they're, you know, something is creeping into their head and it's affecting their game. But, you know, for the high handicapper, more so obviously than the pros, I think the negative thoughts are what really consume them playing around, especially if they've had a bad hole or two, because that just, they can't seem to let it go and move past. So, you know, having a good sort of mental rehearsal, as you suggest, and whether or not you can play all 18 holes, you know, using your imagination, play some of those holes, as you said, that you've made some changes and want to modify how you play them. But also, too, I think, as I said a moment ago, you know, spending less time beating balls on the range and spending more time developing a good sort of course management strategy, I think, is a better way to help improve your game.
Absolutely. The other thing you can do is you've got to check your attitude. So if you are preparing to play and you walk into the first tee, you know, with a feeling of fear, dread, absolutely no confidence, or other inhibitors, you know, you got to use your relaxation techniques. Now, there's only two that I know of. We may have more. One is deep breathing, you know, in through the nose, out through the mouth. And the other one that I do is I try to tighten up every muscle in my body and then slowly but surely relax everything and just let it go. You absolutely have to be aware, you know, can it take a personal check and say, okay, what am I doing? What's going on here? How do I feel? A personal awareness check, I would say. Do it the same way if you're, you know, if you got exaggerated aggressiveness brought on by high expectations. You know, oh my God, I got to play good. Or anger, frustration, you know, think and feel. Stop. Personal awareness checks. So, you know, you want to be focused, committed, confident, relaxed. Stay in the present moment. Don't let your thoughts go jumping ahead. Oh, I got to do this and I haven't played well, and, you know, just absolutely manage your mind.
You know, something, too, that I think a lot of people do, and I think we're all at various times guilty of it to a certain degree, you know, a lot of people bring a lot of baggage to the golf course. You know, they're thinking about what they're doing afterwards, or they're thinking about what, you know, what they're going to be making for dinner or something, you know, that evening. And really, when you're there to play golf, you know, as we've said so many times on this program, it's a game. It's meant to be fun, to enjoy, and, you know, be in the moment. Be in the moment of that round. Forget about what you have to do later. You know, worry about that after the round. But I think a lot of people do that, and they get too many, you know, things going on outside of their round that affect that. Would you agree that that's a problem as well?
Well, they're not focused on the task at hand. You know, you really
right.
have to be focused and committed and know what you're doing and pay attention to the, what do you intend to do at this time, at this minute. Try to stay patient and have feelings of patience and success. You know, oh, I can do this. Shift states in your brain. Again, it's mind management and thought control. What am I doing right here, right now? Now, if you don't really care what you shoot and you're not concerned with the consequences, then you don't have any right to get kicked off when you don't do it well. On the other hand, if you're totally engaged and you're into this, then you have to stop and think. And you have to be very,
right.
very aware, you know.
You know, I remember
and be, you know, really peaceful. I know what I'm doing. I'm very confident. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I was just going to, it brought to mind, you know, a young lady that I was working with some years ago, And I remember she said to me, you know, I could always tell that there was something going on upstairs, and she was just, you know, deep in thought. And I used to say to her, her name was Pam, and I said, Pam, you know, what's going on upstairs in the old brain box? You know, she was a good friend of mine, but, you know, I said, what's going on upstairs in the brain box? And she says, well, I'm thinking that I got to do this for the kids later, and, you know, got to do forth. And I said, but, you know, we're in the middle of a lesson, and we're trying to work on this area of your game. And I said, well, you can't be thinking about things going on. Well, it's okay. I can multitask. And I said, well, which is fantastic. I'm glad that you can multitask. But how's that helping your golf game? I said, when you come to whether it be the range or you come to the course, you need to be focused, as you said, on the task at hand and not worrying about, you know, everything else that's going to happen on, you know, later in the day or in the evening or next Tuesday or what have you. Focus on the task at hand. And I think that's what a lot of people, you know, fall into that trap, is they get too many, you know, thoughts going in their head, and they can't seem to just sort of let the other go and focus on, you know, that task at hand. And that's a big problem. So, you know, this is really what this series is about, is to help people to understand from the, you know, the mental side of the game. The physical side is one issue, but this is an area of the game that I think a lot of people miss the boat on. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. I don't even think that they're aware of what is required to be able to play well. I really don't think they're aware of what it takes to be able to manage yourself around a golf course and play well. And again, I'm sharing my golf psych assessment, if you will, to tell you that here is someone, I have tried to be good at this game since I was 15, and
right.
I don't always do what you're supposed to do, and I don't always play as well as you would like, and so I
right.
was open enough to really investigate. I call myself a living laboratory. You know, here's what was going on in my head, and if I'm pretty good and one of the best, you know, women over 50 in the world, then you got to be able to admit that you need help, and that's where this all starts from. And what
really,
are you honest enough with yourself to say, oh, wow, maybe I am too dominant. Maybe I do think I'm better than I really am. Maybe I really need to, you know, back off and say, look, Missy, you're not good enough to go for this green and two. You got to take a chill pill here and play a better strategy. Because I go out and watch these women on the Legends Tour. When I finish my round, I get a cart and I go watch them play. Because I'm trying to see, well, what do they do that I don't do? Or what do
right.
I not do? Do, you know? And so what I have found, is, and my two people that I go watch the most are Rosie Jones and Jane Crafter, because they don't hit the ball that far. They hit the ball about as far as I do. But they
right.
always better than me. Why? Because they miss it better than me. Why? Because they play their own game. Why? Because they're very aware of their strengths and their weaknesses. So if I'm willing to do that, again, the other thing is that our listeners need to be aware that everybody has issues. You know, everybody's got a pile. It's just, you know, what is your pile? And if you're willing to be enough to look in the mirror to see your pile, you can definitely improve it. You know, absolutely.
Yeah, and I think, you know, as we've mentioned before, you know, on the program, golf, it's not really just about golf. It's about life in general. And I think this is how we manage our life is going to dictate how the out. And, you know, obviously we're applying it to golf here in this program, but, you know, really you have to really do sort of a self-assessment. You have to take a look inwards, you know, as you said, stand in front of the mirror. And it's not just about looking at the physical side. It's about looking at the inside, looking through past the physical being and saying, okay, what's going on inside? You know, what do I need to work on? What do I need to really be focusing on here at this time? And if we've got too many things going on, you know, upstairs, as I said, in the old brain box, then we're not going to play our best golf, and we're not going to succeed in life. And success is not, you know, necessarily mean monetarily or anything like that, but just enjoy life, enjoy playing. And the only way you're going to do that is to, you know, stop worrying about whether you hit it, you know, 285 or 300 yards down the fairway, but what's going to happen for the next shot, prepare for the next shot, and so on and so forth, prepare for that round, prepare for that hole, and so forth, that by having the steps that we've talked about in the series, I think is going to help to make especially the average golfer a much better player.
Absolutely. So it's not only the physical side, it's the mental side. It's your, you know, our guest coming up is the fitness. You know, you've got to look in the mirror and say, what can I do so I have the ability to walk 18 holes and be able to swing the club the way I need to? Can I do anything about my own body? And the answer is yes.
Right.
If you choose to improve, you can. But you have to take personal responsibility and accountability and look in the mirror and fix the things you're able to fix.
Yeah, exactly. Well, our next what a fantastic segment, and thank you, Cindy, for bringing another great one. Of course, next week we're going to be tackling tough-minded, and I know that one's going to be as good as well. But let's bring out our guest. She's waiting here for us. Our guest, as we said earlier in the broadcast, of course, is Karen Palacios Jansen. She's the LPGA Teaching Professional, and she was the 2008 LPGA National Teacher of the Year and has been voted one of America's top 50 best women teachers by Golf Digest magazine since 1998. She has her own golf advice, Swingblade Enterprises, over in Mooresville, North Carolina, and has served as managing editor for Golf Fitness magazine. She's also a Nike Golf and Czech Institute performance specialist and a certified personal trainer. She's developed the specific fitness system called Cardio Golf, and she's also a member of the Nike Golf advisory staff. And, of course, she participates as well in their product development and promotions. She's a former David Ledbetter-trained instructor and a Jim McClain Golf School Master instructor. And she's been playing and teaching for about 20 years or so. She's got a book, Golf Fitness, that was released back in July of 2011. And she's, of course, married to Olympic gold medalist speed skater Dan Jansen, who's also frequently requested as a public speaker and lecturer at local and national golf shows and conferences. And she's helped thousands of golfers improve their game. And you can find more about her at kp.com. Let's bring her out. And Karen, welcome to the Women of Golf.
Oh, well, thanks for having me. And I've been playing golf for a lot longer than 20 years.
Well, I didn't want to be the one to say that. But
I'm a lot like Cindy. We're about the same age, so we've been out there grinding it for a lot of years, and I'm very honored to be on your show. I was fascinated with your conversation earlier. I was getting a lot out of it.
Well, good.
Well,
welcome
appreciate
to the show. We're so glad you were able to join us. Thank you so much.
Sure.
Yeah, we appreciate that. And Karen, of course, we've seen you many times over the years on the Golf Channel and other large media organizations helping some people all over the world become better players and just enjoy this great game that we all enjoy together. But again, thank you for joining us. I'm just going to start things off real quick here. And just, Karen, if you wouldn't mind, and then Cindy, of course, will jump in as well. But tell us a little bit about your cardio golf fitness system.
Yeah, Cardio Golf is a golf fitness system that I developed. I've been teaching it for about 10 years now. And really what it is, it combines golf-specific exercises with swing drills. So it's a class that I teach. You can come to my class. We do a warm-up, all golf-specific, and then we go through a battery of drills and exercises for mobility and stability and strength. We do a bunch of swing drills. We do a lot of exercises to help the specific motions of the swing. We'll do a cool down and stretch. So that's the class that I teach. But now it's available online. You can do my 30-day program. You go online. You sign up, and for 30 days you can get a workout every day. And really what it is, it's a way to practice your swing and get some exercise at the same time. We're all so busy. You know, golf is a very physical sport, yet it's not
right.
Really a great form of exercise. So you have to add in some exercises to help your swing. And, you know, I mean, you've been living under a rock if you don't know how important physical fitness is for your health. So it's kind of a way to kill
right.
two birds with one stone.
Well, and I think also, you know, Karen, and you know, as we all know, you know, years ago, a lot of courses would allow you to walk. Many courses now, of course, won't because they're, you know, it's a numbers game, and we won't go down that road. But, you know, you're taking a cart, so you're losing a lot of that benefit of walking the 18 holes in many cases, unless you're playing on one of the tours or in an area where you're fortunate they're still allowing that. But a lot of the courses, of course, don't. So you're losing that aspect of it. But how important is to have golf fitness? How is it to have something, some sort of fitness regimen in your daily routine?
Well, you know, it's really important, and, you know, not to talk about aging, but, you know, as we age, we all lose muscle mass, our joints stiffen, mm-hmm. you lose your balance. So, you know, it's really important to stay fit as you get older because you want to be able to swing your full range of motion. See, most of the swing faults, and Cindy might agree with me, is come from a lot of physical limitations where someone has a bad shoulder or a bad hip, and a lot of that comes from not keeping in good shape. So, you know, the longer you stay in shape, the better your golf swing will be. And so that's really what it's all about. And, you know, golf fitness is not about trying to get, like, super strong or lift weights or do
right.
push-ups. It's all about trying to just be able to go through your full range of motion. So a lot of that is stretching. A lot of that is mobility. Mm-hmm. A lot of that is just stability. And stability is a word that we throw around a lot in golf fitness. And that's just really your ability to hold a position for a certain amount of time. And think about how important that is in golf. If you want to putt well, you need to be able to bend from your hip sockets and stay in that position while you stroke the ball. If you're not stable, you know, you'll raise up. The same thing with your golf swing. If you're not stable, you'll raise up out of your posture and you'll top a lot of shots and then you'll start to cause swing compensations. So really golf fitness is just really trying to make sure that you can just do basic motions so that you can go through your full range of motion in your golf swing.
What are some common physical limitations that golfers have, and how do you help them correct them in their swing?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, you know, a lot of our physical limitations are put upon ourselves. You know, we sit all day at an office. We sit in the car. We watch TV. So a lot of our tightness comes in our hips and our lower back and our shoulders. So, you know, in the golf swing, if you have any tightness in your hips or your lower back, the tendency is to kind of raise up out of your posture. So you have to identify those physical limitations first. So if you want to start a golf fitness program, it's really important to make sure that you take some sort of basic screen, and any golf fitness professional can help you do that. In my Cardio Golf 30-Day program, you start out with a basic screen that you can do yourself to find out where your limitations are. Once you find out where your tightness is, let's say in the hamstrings or lower back, and most people know it, you know, even without taking a screen, you have to work on those areas to get them back to normal range of motion. So let's just say you have tight hamstrings and a tight low back from sitting a lot or working on the computer. Well, you need to go through some exercises and just get those areas back to normal so that you can start to do some exercises. Because if you start to lift weights and you're tight in your low back and your hips, well, you're just going to make those areas tighter. So you really have to make sure mm-hmm. that you find out where your areas of need are first.
Wow, that's great. That's absolutely great. So you really have to get back to normal before you start going cold towards figuring better things.
Right, and balancing out the muscles. You know, golf is a one-sided sport. If you're right-handed, you know, you're constantly turning one direction. And so one side of your body might be tighter than the other, so you need to balance those out. You know, you might be more flexible in one shoulder as opposed to the other, so you need to work on the shoulder that you're least flexible to get it just up to speed with the other one before you can even start to work on power and strength.
So how do we sign up to this Cardio Golf program?
Well, you can go to my website, cardiogolf.com. And for all the listeners, I have it on a special price all this week. It's usually $99.95, and I have it for $79.95. And it's 30 days, so for less than a price of lesson or a round of golf, you can get 30 days of workouts. And then you can use those beyond the 30 days. I have a little program after you've completed the 30 days to show you how to continue the program. But the thing about my program is, like I said, it's not about trying to do a lot of push-ups or see how much weight you can lift or how many pull-ups you can do. It's all about just trying to be the best that your body can be. We're all different. So you need to, get to your full range of motion to be able to make your full turn. You need to be able to shift your weight. So, that's what the program's all about. It's not about trying to, go into CrossFit and see how many squats you can do in a minute or anything like that. It's not like
okay,
that at all.
So I don't have to go run 3 miles.
Right, exactly.
Okay, so that ain't
right.
Right. That's awesome.
Well, and another thing,
do that.
Yeah, another thing too, Karen, you raised a valid point. It's not about, especially for, and I'm going to speak as the only male here right now, but, men tend to think that, fitness involves bulking up and getting these big muscles, and that might be fine for off the golf course, but that sometimes is not very conducive for playing good golf because it can be more of an inhibitor really than anything else. So it's not about really just, certainly you can lift weights and do that as well, but you have to find a balance in your golf fitness and stretching and doing a lot of things because to help improve your range of motion is really key to be a good golfer.
Right. Actually long, lean muscles work best for golf because when you have long, lean muscles, you can take your muscles through full range of motion. If your muscles are tight and bulky, your swing will be choppy. If you think about some of the newer golfers today that are doing so well, they have long, lean muscles, the Dustin Johnsons, the Keegan Bradleys, the Webb Simpsons.
Yeah.
And then, on the other side of that, you can say, John Daly or Angel Cabrera, they're out of shape. Well, these people are incredibly gifted athletes. Imagine how much better they would be if they were in shape. So, yeah, maybe that might be overweight, but they're super flexible and they're stable. I know a lot of people that are in shape that aren't flexible. So, you have to decide what it is for golf. And long, lean muscles work best for golf. And that's, like you said, a lot of stretching, a lot of exercises to take you through your full range of motion, a lot of mobility, to be able to get your joints to do what you want them to do.
Now, do you have some video on your websites, whether it be the Cardio Golf or any of your other websites, that sort of depict some of the things that you're talking about, because obviously we can't show them here on the radio program.
Yeah,
absolutely. But they can go and visit your site.
Sure, absolutely. If you go to cardiogolf.com, there's a video. You can also download a free ebook to see what the program is all about. My Instagram is kpjgolf.com, and almost every day I put a little 15-second video up there, 15 seconds is as long as they let me do, of a golf fitness exercise. So you can go on there and you can learn an exercise a day, and that's free. But on my cardiogolf.com website, you can see what the whole program is about.
Fantastic.
That's great.
Karen, I wanted to kind of just shift gears a little bit. Obviously, this program is gearing it towards helping women, more women get into the game, but also those that are currently in the game, to learn and enjoy it, to have a much more enjoyable experience. You've been working on something with the LPGA called Teaching Her,
right,
where you've developed a program to help guide professionals on how to teach women golfers differently than men. First off, let's explain a little bit about the program that you've been working with, and then let's talk about some of the differences between teaching men and women.
Sure, yeah. So we've been working on a program, and it'll be available fairly soon, I think in August or September. And the purpose of the course is to not tell people how to teach or tell people how to do their job. Mm-hmm. We simply want to make golf professionals, men and women, aware of how many women may communicate, interpret, and digest information presented to them in a golf lesson differently than maybe men do. Because of the traditionally male-dominated culture in golf, the majority of teaching methods that are currently in use were really developed by
right.
golf male professionals based on their experience is teaching male golfers. And so,
right.
you know, a lot of the times when you go to a golf school, they'll put you up next to, you know, do a swing analysis, and they'll put you up next to a male golfer. Well, for a lot of women, that doesn't compute. So, you know, we just decided to do some research to see what men and women do differently. And, you know, at first when I started, I thought, you know, there would be a few things, but really it's we're two different beings. And there's nothing wrong with that. We just
right.
we just want to simply show people how not only are we physically different, but mentally we're different as well. And it's a good thing because that's how the world goes around. You know, we do things
mm-hmm.
differently. We compliment men. Men compliment us. And so,
right.
you know, and not all women are one size fits all. So we kind of fit that into there as well.
And when
do you see
this ability,
sir? I'm sorry, Cindy, what was that?
When will that be available?
In August, September. We just it's a four-hour course that you can take, and once you go through the course, you'll be certified teaching her golf instructor.
Okay, great. Thanks, Jim.
Fantastic. Let's just very and I know we can't get into great specifics, but there are some differences in teaching. Could you talk just touch a little bit on some of the things that you've discovered through the research in teaching women, how they learn a little bit differently than, say, we do? What are some of the things that you've discovered?
Right. Well, first of all, in the way we communicate differently, the chemistry in our brain is completely different. And so, you know, men often use the rational, the analytical part of the brain. Men listen with the purpose of fixing something. Well, and, you know, they focus on the problem and they look for, like, a solution. Well, women are different that way. They're often listening using the emotional, the rational portion. They listen with the purpose of understanding or, you know, they may want a story. They may want to relate about it. So when a woman goes for a golf lesson, she may already know what she's doing in her swing. She may just want someone to talk to about it, to empathize with her,
mm-hmm.
whereas the male golf professional, because of his training, wants to go right to the source and say, oh, well, your grip is wrong. Well, you know, maybe
yep.
she's been working on her grip, but she wants a different way of going about it. And so you kind of just have to know how we communicate differently. You know, this works in daily life as well. If you're married,
mm-hmm.
you know, you come home and your wife starts telling you about the problems for the day, and the husband goes right into, well, you should just do this and this and this. Well, she already really knows what to do. She just kind of wants someone to say, hey, I understand. You know, I mean, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with men doing that, and there's not anything wrong with women. It's just the way it is. You know, we also listen differently. And so, you know, it's just important for a male professional, female professional as well, because a lot of us golf professionals, Cindy may agree, we have tendencies towards, you know, male tendencies because of just the nature of the game. So we have to
right.
Realize this as well, just to listen differently. We have to establish rapport with our students. And you know, you want to establish rapport with your male or female students. And a lot of the times, golf professionals don't really have that training. You know, they're trained to see a problem, to see a fault, to fix it. Well, it's not always that simple, and you guys were talking about that before in your last segment, about just going to hit balls is not the solution to all the problems in your golf game.
Right. Right. And, you know, that explains, I think, Karen, why I turned 50 this year. Of course, I'm in the 50 club now. And that probably explains why women have said to me all my life, I didn't ask you to fix it. I just asked you to listen. And that would probably
right.
explain why that happened. So, but that's so true. And you know, in everyday life, of course, it applies. But I think you're 100% right when you say that, you know, the industry, of course, traditionally has focused on, because it has been a male-dominated sport, excuse me. But as more and more women coming in and not just teach professionals or those in the golf industry, but women business professionals are taking up the game or getting involved in the game because they recognize it as a valuable business tool, they want to have access to some great instruction. And if it's all sort of lopsided one way, it's not going to be beneficial. And I think this is probably why, and please feel free to agree or disagree, I think this is probably part of the reason why a lot of women over the years have dropped out of the game, and I'm talking at an amateur level, because of that frustration, because I don't think that the industry was really geared towards teaching them properly. Would you agree with that?
You know, I really think that could be true. You know, I just don't think we thought about it before. We just didn't think that women and men needed to be taught differently. But, you know, research in other areas shows that teaching women differently in other areas is beneficial. So why wouldn't we do that for golf? I mean, we're built differently. Our body types are completely different. You know, men are a lot stronger in their upper bodies. We're stronger in our lower bodies. So, you know, how can we teach a lady who barely has any wrist and arm strength to hold the angle and lag? We should be teaching her how to shift her weight and how to use her lower body differently. And so, you know, these are the things that we studied in this course. We spent about a year and a half researching this course. So, you know, there's a lot of information that no one's ever talked about before, that no one's ever done research. So I just don't think they thought about it before.
Right. Well, and I guess really, yeah, that's really what I guess I was trying to say in a roundabout way. Unfortunately, I was trying to fix the problem instead of listening, so it probably didn't come out the way I wanted it. But,
you know, a good example is, I don't know if you all are friends with Lexi Thompson on Facebook. She posts a lot of pictures of her swing just to kind of post, you know, that's what young girls do nowadays. Hey, here's my swing, I'm working on it. Well, all the women always post, hey, beautiful swing, you know, good job, you're doing great. And a lot of the male professionals go, oh, well, it looks good, but, you know, at the top of your swing, you really need to get more weight into your right side or you really need to do that. And I just crack up. I'm like, just look at her swing and admire it or say something nice, whereas the guy has to go in and fix it. And like I said, you know, maybe that's not wrong, but you know, you just have to know how women think differently than men.
Well, maybe they should wait for her to post. Yeah, that's what I was just about to say, Cindy. I was going to say, why don't you wait until she asks for the advice first before you pitch it?
Exactly,
that's
right.
That's so true. And yeah, I've learned my lesson. It's taken me 50 years to do it, but I've learned my lesson. Mm-hmm. Let me just ask one other thing, if I can, real quick, while we're on that topic.
Sure.
There's obviously differences. Women tend to gravitate, I think, to a different area of the game. Obviously, men have, you know, predominantly been more interested in the power game, whereas women certainly want to hit it farther and longer and straighter and that sort of thing. But women tend to focus on different areas of the game. Where do you find in your teaching, you know, Karen, that women are most apt to be interested? What areas of the game are they most interested in?
Well, you know, I would say because we don't hit it as far, we have a lot more approach shots around the green. So, and those are actually difficult shots for anybody. So, you know, those are really what they want to learn. They want to learn how to be able to get the ball on the green and for the ball to stop. I mean, I see, and Cindy, you can kind of chime in there. A lot of the times, because women don't have the arm and wrist strength, they tend to kind of scoop the ball up in the air, so they hit kind of a low running shot into the green that doesn't stop, and it's very frustrating. So a lot of the ladies that I teach, they're like, I want to know how to hit it higher so that the ball lands on the green and stops. The guys have a little bit more strength. They have a little steeper angle of descent. So, you know, they tend to do that more naturally. So I would say hitting kind of that high shot that stops is really what women are looking for. And
I also
go ahead,
think
Cindy.
They're looking to maybe hit their fairway shots a little bit better, their hybrids in the air off the ground in the middle of the fairway.
Right, yeah, I was just going to say
it's not that important to hit it far. Straight is always long. And if you can get on the green in one over regulation and two putt, you just shot 90.
Exactly, right. And a lot of it is just helping them find the equipment that will help them. I mean, the new hybrids are fantastic now that help women. You know, women tend to have a more shallow angle of attack, more of a sweeping motion. Well, now with these hybrids, you can have that shallow angle of attack and get the ball up in the air, whereas with a long iron, you can't get away with that. You're going to hit that low running shot. So just by helping them get better equipment will really help them without even changing their swing.
Absolutely. And they need to be fit for their club.
Mm-hmm.
And the big,
right.
You know, I believe in that. I have so many women that come into me that are 5'8" or 5'9" that really need men's clubs, and their back's killing them, and they're bending over too far, and their clubs are too short, and the shaft's too whippy. So take the time, invest the money, and get fit for your clubs.
Right. The other part is with clubs is a lot of women tend to get the secondhand clubs, so they'll come mm-hmm. with like the worst putters I've ever seen in my entire life. They're long or they're heavy, and you know putting's a huge part of the game. So just getting a woman fit with a putter that she can swing will help will shave strokes off her game.
Absolutely.
What do you think, Karen? Just quickly here, as we only have a moment or two left, unfortunately, I would love to have you here all day long. What do you think are some common things that you see when women are coming for lessons, some of the common mistakes, besides obviously not being properly fitted or having the right equipment, some things that you see when they're coming to, or maybe they're not working on certain areas of their game that you think that they should spend more time? What are some common areas that you see?
Yeah, well, I would say for a lot of maybe some of the older ladies that never really played a sport before, you know, don't have the concept of kind of the step and swing kind of thing. So, you know, you kind of have to teach them some basic drills. And that's the other thing about what we talk about in this course. A lot of the women that decide to play golf did not play other sports, but because of the nature of the game, they're like, oh, I think I can play golf. Well, so they come in and they're not athletic at all. So a lot of the guys relate golf to a sport. Okay, just pretend, you know, you're swinging a baseball bat. Well, they never swung a baseball bat. So
yeah.
How can they relate to that? So, you know, you might have to go back to the beginning and just teach a basic step and swing to help them learn the motion. You know, I see a lot of that they just don't understand the concept of the basic swinging motion. So if you can just explain or if you can just teach them that, I think their natural ability can then take over. Where a lot of people go wrong is, you know, they want to hit the ball instead of trying to swing the ball. One of the things about my cardio golf program, when I used to teach at Doral in Miami, I used to teach ladies that had never played the golf game before, and we actually did cardio golf first. And cardio golf, we go through the whole swinging motion without a golf club, and then after about 6 weeks of just doing the class, then we went out to the golf course, and at least they had the idea of how to make a nice turn and more of a swinging motion as opposed to just lifting their arms and chopping down on it. So, you know, I think that's important when you're teaching some of the women that, you know, don't have other sports experience. But, you know, the younger girls are great nowadays because they all grew up playing sports. I mean, they're fantastic athletes. So in the next few years, we're going to see a lot of really great girls come up that are playing golf and going to be super athletic and hit the ball far.
Yeah, and that's so evident now on the LPGA Tour. You see a lot of these young girls, they're definitely in great shape, and they're more interested in the fitness side as well. And the men, of course, have been doing that as well. You know, you can certainly look at the more current players. You can definitely see a difference from, say, 20, 30 years ago. And that's not, you know, meant as a criticism, but it's just that it's a way of life, recognizing how important it is. And I think golf has maybe lacked a little bit compared to some of the other sports out there in jumping on the bandwagon, but I think you're seeing a big movement now in recent years where fitness is becoming a big priority in the golf circuit. So we want to obviously take that into the amateur level as well and get a lot of the high handicappers, if you will, out there working not just on their golf games but working on the fitness side of it as well. And what a great way to do it by visiting your website, cardiogolf.com.
Yes, thanks. So just, you know, a lot of people moan when they're like, oh, now I have to work out to play golf. Well, yes, but also at the same, you can work on your golf game at the same time. You know, just adding a few exercises here and there as you work on your swing will make a huge difference. Doing nothing won't do anything. Doing a little bit will help a lot.
Thank you so
exactly.
much, Karen. This is great. And I must Rochford, I was with you at the EWGA National Conference, and I did a little tiny bit of the cardio golf, and I think my impression, first impression before I was able to participate was, oh, my God, she wants me to run around the block. And that's really not what it is at all. So it's very, very easy to do, and it's great for you, and it's really going to loosen you up to be able to make better golf swings. So thank you so much. I really look forward to it. And it's cardiogolf.com.
Right, cardiogolf.com. Yep. Yeah, thanks a lot, Cindy. So I appreciate your support.
And let me just, in closing, Karen, very quickly, and please feel free to correct me if I'm incorrect. This week, of course, Karen is offering to the listeners here access to her Cardio Golf 30-Day Challenge for $79.95 as opposed to a regular $99.95, and they can access that by visiting her website this week to get a hold of that special price. She'll have it up at cardiogolf.com. And also LPGA, if you're interested, if you're a teacher professional and you're interested in getting information about the LPGA teaching her certification, where can they go to find out that?
To the LPGA website, lpga.com.
Okay, perfect.
Super. Thanks so much for joining us. This has been a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. And I was really fascinated with your conversation before, so I look forward to listening to you in the future as well.
We appreciate it, Karen, for you joining us. And let me just say that we thank all of the hard work that you do in this sport. I've followed you for many, many years. I've watched, as I said, when you've been on the Golf Channel many, many times and other media forums and that. You do a fantastic job, not only for women but for golf in general. So we certainly appreciate you doing that, and we thank you for joining us today on the program. We look forward to having you come back.
Well, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Not a problem. Thank you, and have a great week, Karen, and we will talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks a lot, you guys. Bye.
All right,
bye-bye. Okay, that was our guest today, Karen Palacios Jansen, and you can get a hold of her either through her cardiogolf.com website, and don't forget she's offering a special this week, a 30-day challenge for $79.95. For those of you that are tuning into the program, you can get access to that this week at cardiogolf.com. And you can also, if you're interested in the certification program, the LPGA Teaching Her certification, you can go to lpga.com and also visit her other website, kpjgolf.com. I want to thank all of you for tuning in each and every week. Cindy and I certainly enjoy bringing all this information to you, and we hope that you'll continue to tune in each and every week right here on the blogtalkradio.com network. And we're here every Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. Eastern time. And so go out, have some fun, enjoy the game. Listen to the program again if you weren't able to catch all of it live. It'll be available here in just a moment. You can listen to the recorded version and go back and listen to some of the other segments that Cindy has put together for her Own Your Game series. It's a great series, and thank you, Cindy, for bringing that to the network here. And we're going to have some more great components to that series as the weeks go on and some other great guests. So thank you very much, everybody. Have a great week. Cindy, as always, thank you, and you go out and have a great week and knock them dead.
Thank you. You do as well, Todd. Thank you.
All right. Have a great week, everybody. God bless.